It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I left the city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowned. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 229 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. We are waking up early in the morning, getting that YouTube video out, getting those podcasts out for you guys, because we did round one, picks 1 through 12. Today, we're going to bring you round two, maybe even a little bit into round three, so you guys can absolutely smash your draft. Nobody better to do that with than my main man, Snoog. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good, Dad. I'm excited. We're, what, 5-6 days away now from the NFL draft, so we're cruising. We're getting there. All the rankings are updated. All the dynasty ranks are getting updated. Just for us to have to update them again 3 days after the draft ends, so I'm excited. Best time of the year. This is all I've been doing. I've been going on my boat after work, fishing, coming home, 7 o'clock to midnight. I've been doing all ranking stuff, getting content ready for this week, and just getting ready to roll with some smart-minded people.
Dude, and this year, we have a lot of exciting things. Right now, so if you guys do not subscribe to our YouTube, go over there and do that today. Make sure you guys check it out. It's linked in my bio. It's linked. I have a pinned tweet up right now. What we're willing to do is before the draft, if you guys go over there and you subscribe, we're going to pick one lucky winner to not only be able to get a free month of our Patreon, but also get draft assistance on your rookie draft with Snoog and I. So we're going to sit there and help you with your draft. We're going to help you get in the right position. We do that in the Patreon. We do that, you know, for any of you guys that are interested in getting draft assistance or even, you know, individual pods after your rookie draft. So Snoog and I can critique and criticize and, you know, build up some of your drafts. We're trying to do all those things because draft season is our Christmas. We love it. That's what we're here to do. We updated all of our rankings. Everything in the Patreon right now is the coolest thing we have right now is you can go into your group chat. So if you're in 101, 102, 103, wherever you're drafting from, we have a group chat in there for every single one with all of the trade advice that I have. But also, you're going to be able to talk to everybody else that's at the 101, and they're going to talk about who traded where, what moves made. So when you have a community, and I think that's the coolest part about the Patreon, is a sense of community where you guys can talk it over. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to break into our mock draft. So we did our 1 through 12 last week. All right, just to recap, 1 through 12. And the cool thing is Snoog and I have 1 through 11 almost identical, actually identical. And then we just changed our 1-12 in our rankings right now. But we had a Caleb 1, Marvin 2, Malik 3, Tier Break, Drake May 4, Jaden Daniels, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, JJ McCarthy, Tier Break, Brian Thomas, then who... we have Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, and then Snoog finish it up at 112 with Troy Franklin. Snoog, what's the biggest takeaway you have from round one right now? I mean, in years past, we're always like, hey, you know, this guy's going to creep in here, that guy's going to creep in here, things are going to shuffle. Last year, I think you and I had 1 through 12 pretty darn accurate, aside from Zach Charbonnet going to the wrong spot, moved into the round two. What do you see shaking up once we get to the NFL draft? And then let's start mocking this second round, because this is full of gems.
Yeah, I think right after you get after the Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers tier, I think 4 through 8 is just completely up for grabs between that tier. I personally think JJ McCarthy's just going to be the 8, and regardless, like I don't think he's like this elite fantasy quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think JJ is a much better NFL quarterback, but I think in the right situation, he could be really good. Like I've comped in the Brock Purdy recently, like if he went to the Vikings, that'd be a great landing spot for him to produce some powerhouse numbers. I think Roma Dunze and Brock Bowers are like the safest bets there and Jaden Daniels to kind of like cement themselves in that like 5, 6, 7 range. Mm-hmm. I think Drake May personally is going to be my 4. Like if he goes to New England, Maybe I take Rome over him or Brock, depending on where they go, if it's somewhere exciting. But I think Drake's the guy that can survive in a New England, right? Because he played with very minimum NFL talent during his time at UNC in 2022 and 2023. Just Josh Downs, third-round NFL pick. He lit the world on fire. 4,000-plus passing yards, 30-plus touchdowns, rushed for a ton of yards and touchdowns. Mm-hmm. This year, Tez Walker is the only NFL talent he really had on the team at the wideout position. This guy played maybe six games with Drake May. So I think Drake May is the guy that will survive that bad landing spot, kind of like we thought with C.J. Stroud, right? Like, this is a guy that came in, elite passer, one of the best to come out in a while as a pure passer. Mm-hmm. And he went to a landing spot that a lot of people didn't really love. I mean, third-round pick Tank Dell. He had that size concern a lot of people were worried about. And then Nico Collins really hasn't done shit in the NFL. So I think this is the type of landing spot that we could get the big discount on Drake May, and he could end up going out there and handpicking his wideout at pick 35 and maybe Worthy or maybe McConkey or Troy Franklin falls. And then he gets himself a pretty good wide receiver there alongside some other decent weapons, Hunter Henry. And the Pats O-line's pretty solid too. So I think it's an underrated spot where we could get a good discount on Drake May.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people are sharing their drafts already. They're like, I got Drake May at 107, you know, and I'm like, that's crazy.
Thank you.
Because there was a time we were talking about him, it's a 102, you know, and I think every draft is different. This is such a unique draft where I think 1 through 3 are pretty chalk in my mind, but 4 through 7 and 8 are going to be so team dependent, where it's like in some situations, if you really need that quarterback, it's worth trading into the 104, 105. In some situations, if you really need that wide receiver, it's worth doing the same thing. If you really need that tight end. In others, it's like, dude, I saw a guy the other day, he traded from 104 to 107, got a 25 first added on, and he went from Jaden Daniels and he got Drake May at 107. And I'm like, dude, that's a smash right there. Like, you ended up insulating that, because all the quarterbacks after Caleb Williams, in my mind, are a little bit risky. I think Jaden's got the biggest upside for year one. May has that, you know, Justin Herbert type thing. But, dude, I'm excited, man. We want to keep talking about those round one guys, but we're moving on into our mock draft. I have the 201 here. He's my 112. I'm going to take Ladd McConkey. I really have kind of fallen in love with him over the process. I think there's a scenario where everyone tries to comp him. They're like, oh, this is Cooper Kupp. This is Jordan Edelman. You're Julian Edelman. You know, we keep going to those things, but 4.39, 40, that's 86th percentile. He's someone that just is super quick, super fast. He's gets open very regularly. I think in the right situation, this is a guy that is going to be a rock solid wide receiver too. The ceiling isn't the same as Xavier Worthy, as Adonai Mitchell, even as Troy Franklin in my mind, but I think the floor is very, very high. And I think if we get him, oh man, like, you get him on the Chiefs, you get him on an offense with a quarterback that really knows how to read the room. And I think this is a guy that does have that same kind of a much more athletic Wes Welker, a guy that could really thrive in the right system. And I think he's a steal in the second round. The second round here, Snoog, before we get too far into it, it's chocked full of gems. I mean, everyone's is completely different right now between 201 and 212. Everyone keeps asking. We're just trying to give you an idea of, like, you know what? These are the guys in that range, but there could easily be a running back go into this spot. There could easily be a quarterback go into this spot. I think everything's going to be very fluid, but we wanted to get this out ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ladd and Troy are guys that they're both going to – Ladd's line on DraftKings is like minus 32. So they think he could go at that back end of the first, or he's going to be a really early second-round pick. Troy's like a top 40 pick. Like, you can't go wrong with any of these guys. And in this type of class, like, there's a chance we get 6 or 7 wideouts. And I really think we're going to in the first round of this year's draft, with how many of the powerhouse offenses really need number two weapons, not even to say number one. Like, some of them don't even have a one, like the Bills – and the Jaguars. Like, these guys need a number one. So I think right here where we're at is exactly where I'm at. Just in term, if we switch Daniels with Odunze and Bowers, and then that would be exactly how I would draft these guys today, based on just like how I try to project them, how I like them as prospects, and like the level of prospects these guys are. At the 202 spot, I think I'm going to break into my first running back here, because I think it's guaranteed that we're going to get at least one in round two, which is premium draft capital for the running back position. There's a lot of spots open that need running back. I'm going to switch things up a little bit here. I'm going to go with, I have this as a tier three right now of running backs. I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas. And usually this would be Blake. This would usually be Blake Corum for me, but I'm going to play things. I'm going to take things a little bit outside of the NFL perspective, because sometimes I think I let myself get too involved with how they are as NFL prospects versus how they'll be in fantasy football. I think the fantasy football market's going to look at this and be like, okay, Jonathan Brooks, 20 years old. Blake Corum's going to be 24 years old in November. That's a four-year age swing. I think so many people are going to be turned off by that value, regardless of if Blake Corum gives us a very good year one. I think he's the most pro-ready running back in this class. I think Blake's great. But just looking at it in the dynasty fantasy football lens, plus with the Jonathan Brooks receiving upside, you got to go Brooks here. 20 years old. I know the torn ACL thing's an issue. That's turned me off as well. If he didn't have that, he would definitely be my running back one in this class. 20 years old, four-star recruit, played at Texas, broke out as a junior, was always very efficient alongside Bijan and Roshan. He broke out at a younger age, 19 years old. You could call that breakout. He averaged 4+ yards after contact per attempt this past year. I mean, this guy just lit the world on fire, 1,100 yards, tore his ACL at the end of the year, which is something to worry about. But this kid just glides on the football field. Very like Aaron Jones, Arian Foster-like, in my opinion. Probably a 4.5, high 4.4 runner, 4.49. Like, he's not the fastest guy, but he's quick. He accelerates smoothly. Great vision, great patience. He's got the whole package. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks here. He's the favorite to go first running back off the board on DraftKings. We're going to follow that draft capital because we know how important that is for these running backs. So I think Jonathan Brooks should be the RB1 taken in rookie drafts.
Yo, that, I love it. I came around on Blake Corum as your RB1. Now, I originally in the beginning had Jonathan Brooks there, and I think the NFL is going to really tell us who it is. I think Jonathan Brooks, without an injury, without a doubt, is the RB1 unquestioned. But with the injury, it's really going to be how that people play it. I think running back is going to be those big three. If any of them go to Dallas, I would consider taking them at 112. You know, if Brooks, Corum, or Benson go to Dallas, I'm really considering taking them over Franklin and McConkey. With my next pick, I'm taking Bo Nix here. I think, and this is going to change a lot. A lot of this has to do with draft capital. I see a lot of options of him or Michael Penix Jr. going to the Raiders, going to the Broncos. If they start from day one, they're a super flex quarterback with some upside. You know, I mean, Bo Nix has top tier pocket mobility. He's someone that has a compact, quick delivery, scrambling ability. Last year, he threw for 4,500 yards, 45 touchdowns, so only 3 interceptions, Snook. Like, there is a big play possibility here. I know he was hooking up a lot with Franklin. You know, there's a lot of opportunities if he goes to the Raiders, if he goes to Denver. I mean, I don't like Denver quite as much. The Raiders, I would love him with Davante Adams and really Jacoby Myers and have a pro-ready type quarterback. I'm not willing to put him in the first. I know a lot of people are starting to put him there. I can't take him over Mitchell or Worthy or those guys. But I think early second, he's got that same kind of vibes as Will Levis, where it's like, okay, maybe he doesn't start day one, but a couple weeks into the season, maybe he starts, or towards the end of the year, he starts to accumulate value. And last year, you were drafting Will Levis around the 203. Now he's worth a late 24 first. This year, if you get Bo Nix or Penix and one of those guys, you know, starts to show a little bit of flash, you take them at 203 to 205, they're worth a 25 first next year in a class that's loaded at the running back position.
Yeah, exactly. I think Bo Nix is definitely my QB5 in this class. I'd much prefer him to Michael Penix. I think there's just more upside. I think he's just more of like that athletic gunslinger type quarterback that I like him better than Penix, especially with the medical histories and age. Here, I'm going to continue this running back trend. I'm going to go with Blake Corum. This is a guy that, again, I assume is going to get day 2 draft capital. The NFL is going to love this guy. I mean, he's pro ready. He's a very hard worker on the field. Mm-hmm. Ran much better at the combine. Led the position in bench press. Like, this is a guy that is putting in the work on and off the field. He led the best team in the country last year in back-to-back seasons with ridiculous amount of rushing volume, rushing yards, and touchdowns. Touchdown score machine. He's got the elite package of footwork, vision, elusiveness in short areas. Like, this is what we're looking for. He's like Doug Martin, Ray Rice, Maurice Jones-Drew type running back. I think he can get to that ceiling, but I think the floor is just very high for a Blake Corum. He's my RB1B, 1A, I would call it. Him and Jonathan Brooks are slightly above Benson, even though it's the same tier for me. I just think they're both like much more polished than Benson is. But I mean, either three of these guys could be RB1 with the right landing spot, right? It's whoever goes to Dallas in round two or round three. It's whoever goes to Carolina round two or round three, right? It's just like whoever gets the draft capital, the right landing spot, that's going to likely lean towards who's going to be drafted in this early second round range. But right now I'm going to just go with the guy that I think is from the get going to give you great production regardless of the age. Like, he only played in college for 4 years, only got a big workload in two of those years. Everyone's so worried about him turning 24 in November. I don't care. I mean, the running back position, the shelf life's like a 2 to 3 year window to begin with. If I can get 2 to 3 top 15, top 12, years out of Blake Corum, give me that all day in an early second round pick.
No, I like that a lot. And before landing spots, again, I'm I like another running back here. And I know this feels kind of dirty in some senses, but I'm going to take Michael Penix Jr. And I think, Snoog, don't get me wrong, I am not wild on Michael Penix Jr. But in this area, before we know the running back positions, I think Michael Penix Jr. has that ability to be drafted in the first round. I see him as a Tua light, and I don't draft Tua anywhere, so you know I'm probably not going to own Penix Jr. anywhere. But that doesn't mean he won't have value. You know, like, again, very accurate in certain areas. You know, he doesn't have that mobility that we want, but I think in the right system, again, for me, I'm holding out hope for the Raiders because I think this would be a guy that could, you know, Minshew starts a couple of games, see what happens, then Penix Jr. takes over and gains some value. I mean, I love potentially taking Benson. You know, I think Braylon Allen could jump up here. There's some wide receivers I'm starting to like, you know, but in my rankings right now, I have both of those quarterbacks right up here in this range, and it doesn't seem as sexy, but I think if they get round one draft capital or early round two, it's definitely worth the situation. So I know I saw you shake your head. You're like, ah, oh, dad, you know, like we don't need Penix Jr., but I let the other running back fall to you, brother.
Yeah, no, for sure. I get it. I mean, you know how I feel about Penix. He actually made my do not touch list that I put out last night with a bunch of other guys, but I'm so turned off by the medicals, the age, all that, but that's for another day. I love that you're like a master of the market, right? Like, you don't care if Michael Penix isn't good in your eyes. You're going to follow the market and take advantage of if he gets that capital, you take him and then you flip him for that 25 first. So it's turning an apple into a watermelon, right? So that you master that market. For me, it's like, I hate him, I'll take someone else. I don't care. And that's I need to be better.
you're so much more like, this is why things blend so well, because you're so much into the tape, into the player, into what we're doing. And I'm more of, let's talk about the value of the player. Let's see what we can do there. And that's why it blends so well sometimes. For me, I'm like, that's what it was with Will Levis. I was taking him. I got him all the way at 206 sometimes. And I've traded all my Will Levis shares. And one I got for George Pickens straight up. Another one I got a 25 first. Another I got 201 plus a 25 second. You know what I mean? It's just playing the market until you see something's going to happen. I think there's a real world scenario where Knicks and Penix both get some starts next year, whether they're starters or they start by the end of the year, and then they're going to move up in value. So I like that. Who are you taking here?
Yeah, absolutely. I went with Trey Benson, right? We're keeping the running back trend going. Same tier. We just got to the end of a tier now. So I have those three in a tier. I think I would put $100+ on it that these three guys go day three, and they're probably, I think maybe there's one more guy that could go day three, but I think it's a lock that one of these three guys do. So I'm chasing the draft capital. I'm chasing the upside. Trey Benson, elite athlete, very, very raw player, but great on the outside areas of the field. Missed tackles, forced machine, great after contact. I think the upside's the roof for this guy. Like, I think from an upside perspective, he has the most upside out of these three guys. But from a floor perspective, I think it's probably the lower of the three guys, especially with like medical histories. I know he's had like two torn ACLs or like broke his leg, or he had some knee injuries back in the day. I think Trey Benson, I mean, he could catch the ball. He's got elite speed, 6 foot, 215 pounds. He checks every box that profiles as a workhorse running back. Wasn't an early declare, but he transferred from Oregon and shined in Florida State's offense. Florida State running backs seem to always hit. It's a good program. They produce NFL running backs. This guy is just an elite athlete, great after contact. I'm chasing that upside. I'm chasing that draft capital. I think this is a perfect draft area for him, right? Like, we're at like that 204, 206 range. Same with Corum. Like, these are where you want to be taking these running backs, right? Like, these three guys I just listed should be going in that early to mid second round range. Much more comfortable with taking them there than taking them 111, right? Let your league mates take Benson 110 if he goes to Dallas, and then take Jonathan Brooks 206 when he goes to the Giants. You're going to get just a much better swing. You're going to be able to get a 201 on top of that too to move back to that 205, 206 range. You'll be able to get 2-for-1. So I think that's just kind of following the market, right? Just take advantage of the other two guys that go D2 that don't go to that superpower landing spot, and they're going to be at a much cheaper cost, because all that matters is volume, opportunity, and the talent. These guys all have that talent. So I'm just trying to chase the values in these tiers. So I'm going to go with Benson here. Love the pick.
I do too. You know, and I think I want to talk real quickly. For me, you know, I talked 9 through 13 are a tier where it's Thomas, Worthy, Mitchell, McConkey, Franklin, however you want to put it. And then for me, it's like 202 through 206 are another tier. And that's where you get your three running backs and your two quarterbacks in my mind. You know, like, there is not a wide receiver yet who I'm willing to say is in that tier. There's two that I have that are really close where one of them's your guy, one of them's my guy. You know, I think there's two wide receivers that are close to being in that range. They're going to need to get that draft capital. A lot of people aren't mentioning where we need to see those wide receivers. If they go in that round, you know, up to, there's multiple different areas we want them to go. If they go top 10, it's one way, right? If they go top 18, it's another. If they go in the first round, and then if they go inside the top 50, there's that area where those guys that go early to mid round two that I think really start to, you know, move themselves up in value. They're the guys that I think could ascend into that area. For me, the guy I'm going to draft, and you might not like it, you might love it, I don't know, because I'm leaving Javon Baker for you, but I'm taking Ricky Purcell here. I'm really starting to like, I'm seeing early second round draft capital. I see a guy that's super athletic, that has, you know, extreme upside if he goes to the right situation, can make acrobatic catches, someone that I really like with the right landing spot. And I think with these wide receivers, once you get out after the elite wide receivers, and this is something in this class, Snoog, where everybody talks about Malik versus Marv, and then they forget that Roma Dunze is literally the wide receiver one of most classes. And then we get into that next area, and we really focus in on Thomas, Worthy, McConkey, Franklin, and then we're like, okay, let's really tier it back. But the next tier of wide receivers in this class are also very good. Like, these are guys that I think could be mid to back end wide receiver twos, and that are going to produce fantasy numbers that in the second round, you get multiple shots at these guys. Just like last year with the running back class, right? We were taking guys in the second round. We were getting, sometimes A-Chain fell in there. We were getting Spears in the second. We were taking multiple shots on a lot of these guys. This year, I think that second round, we're going to take multiple shots on these wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I like this Purcell pick. I mean, I would personally take someone else here over him. And you, I think everybody listening and everybody knows who I'm taking here. Javon Baker out of UCF. This guy has just been a guy that I've fallen in love with to watch his tape. Like, he is tenacious. He is just such an aggressive playmaker at the catch point. And the way he moves, he has like some of the most fluid movements in this class at the position. The way he just releases off the line of scrimmage, runs his routes, snaps out of releases. This is the guy that I think has the most upside to be like that day two, day three wide receiver gem that becomes a wide receiver one, like that Rashi Rice, that Puka Nacua. He's that type of guy for me, because he's a guy that on the field, I don't even think he was utilized to his strengths. And I don't think the quarterback that they had could even get close to unlocking his true ceiling, because I couldn't even tell you the quarterback's name. But just from a 2023 perspective, Javon Baker was first in yards per reception with 21.9. That just proves how good he was winning downfield vertically and using his elite body control and his playmaking abilities to adjust to any ball. Because there was tons of balls that were overthrown, underthrown, out of his vicinity, and he'd still make that catch, right? And that comes into play with how long his arms were. His arm length was like 80th percentile. It was like 79 inches, which was crazy because the guy's like 6'1". His A dot was super high, 17.1, which is really good too. 1,100 plus yards, which was eighth in the class. And which was very exciting for a guy like Javon Baker, is He hit 3.00 plus yards per route run and yards per team pass attempt this past year. Those are the numbers you're looking for, right? We're looking for the producers. We're looking for the guys that pop on tape, looking for the guys that dominated on their team's offense, just dominated all of the targets, all of the opportunity. And this is a guy that transferred from Alabama, very highly recruited, four-star recruit, went to Bama, got praised from Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Like, these guys know this kid could play ball. He left. He was in a stacked wide receiver room. He said, shit, man, I want to play now. Left that team, went to UCF, produced from day one, back-to-back great years. Fourth-year guy, had a great Senior Bowl, a very, very highly touted from that Senior Bowl performance he had there. Stood out at the combine. I mean, he wasn't an underperformer, wasn't an overperformer. 4.5, 4.40, pretty good jumper. Did really well in drills, in my opinion. Showed off that route running. I think he has the potential to turn into a nuanced route runner. He reminds me a lot of Rashee Rice, where he wasn't utilized enough in his game. Like, Rice was this guy that was this contested one-on-one jump ball guy all through college. Came into the Chiefs and was instantly used as like this yak explosive guy after the catch. Newsflash, Javon Baker, 7.2 yards at the catch per reception, third in this class from this past year. So I think Javon Baker was underutilized in this UCF offense, and I think the NFL is going to have a lot of fun with how versatile he is and how aggressive he is at the catch point downfield.
You've got to be thrilled getting him at the – that's the 209 there.
Oh, I love that value.
You know, 208, 209.
The zero risk.
Right. I think we're going to see running backs fly up in here. They're going to start moving in, and I think there's going to be a real-world scenario where you're getting Javon Baker at 209, 210, and it's a very, very good pick. When we start playing this area, Snoog, is like we're not betting on floors right now, right? When you start to get – me personally, when I start to get to second-round picks, especially after the mid-second, so, you know, like Blake Corum's a little bit of a safer running back, and I love Jonathan Brooks. If I get to this point in the draft, there's some wide receivers I like that have decent upside. You know, I'm not willing to take a tight end until 212 or 301. There's no more quarterbacks here in this area. I want a running back, and when I get my running backs, I want upside. I want athleticism. And for me, I'm taking Jalen Wright, an absolute patient runner, elite speed. He blew up the combine. I think in the right area, he has fantastic SEC production. If he gets draft two, day two draft capital. Wow. I think this is a guy that, again, if he goes to Dallas, if he goes to the Chargers, if he goes somewhere, even as a complimentary, you know, he's a little bit bigger back than a lot of people compared him to Devon Achane. You know, I think he's not quite to that level of explosiveness, but this guy has a very high ceiling. And I think in the right area, the right system, we could see him as an RB2 in the NFL in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed that. I mean, Jalen Wright's a guy that was an elite athlete, has great contact balance. Bit of a raw runner, saw a lot of light boxes up front. That's the two red flags there where you look at him, but he's 20 years old, elite athlete, 39, 40 inch vertical, ridiculous broad jump, 4.38, 40. He was like 215 pounds. Like, this guy's a freight train, and I think the NFL is going to love him. I know he's the third highest rated running back on DraftKings to go first running back off the board.
Really?
He's another guy that could probably sneak into that day two range and probably will for his speed and athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Following this pick, I'm going to go with another running back in the same tier as Jalen Wright for me is Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, this is a guy that had a 4.46 40, just a very, very good athlete for his size. I mean, he was 220 pounds, 5'9". He is probably the best running back in this class at making defenders miss. In terms of just his raw elusive ability and his open field space, I think he's a guy that, I mean, four-star recruit, went to South Carolina, flashed big time there, saw some injuries, transferred to USC and just looked great there. Like, this past year, he looked great. He's got some good receiving chops as well. I know it was hard to tell because Cale Williams is going to be a guy that's going to throw a check down. He does a lot of dancing and extending outside of the pocket and pushing the ball downfield. But I do think a guy like Marshawn Lloyd is super talented. And I think right now, like in this second round range is where we should be attacking six running backs. There's one more left that I would take in this range. But I think this is where you should be attacking these guys that go round two, go round three, go round four. Because these are the guys that are going to get an opportunity. They're talented. They have the multi-versatile skill sets. And Marshawn Lloyd slides perfectly right into this type of mold.
Yeah, you're right. I think this is that area where we're like, you're betting on upside. There's a lot of wide receivers here that I like. You know, there's some guys here that I think are supreme bust area, and I think there's one guy in particular you and I are just going to keep avoiding. But I think this puts us in an area where I'm going to take – there's two running backs here for me that I think are still in that area where I think
right
they
choice,
deserve
Dad.
To go there. I know who you're going to say.
Make the right choice, Dad.
You want me to say Audric Estime?
Yeah.
I know you do. I was going to say Braylon Allen. I'm personally – I think – I'm coming around on Estime a lot. Like, I've moved him. I had him. Right now, we're talking 210. So we are talking about a running back here where you're giving yourselves opportunities. I think Estime could have a little bit more of a larger role, but I think Braylon Allen, I saw him potentially going to the Ravens as, like, a guy to learn behind Derrick Henry, someone that's 6'1", 235, nimble feet. I think 2 years ago, he would be much higher up. You know, like where you're going to get a guy, he's still just 19 years old. I mean, he is young. He is an absolute specimen. And I think in the right system could be fantastic, you know, and I think you're going to take Estime next. So I want to hear what you think between the two running backs here, you know, and I think what are we up to? Six running backs in the second round. Like, this is that area where we know next year we're getting stud running backs. I don't mind investing a second round pick here on some of these guys, but I don't really want to pay a first because of what we're going to see next year.
I'm actually not going to take Estime.
I'm going to
shoot for the stars here. I'm going to go with Xavier Leggett. This is a guy that was nothing until this past year. I know he had a ton of setbacks. Both his parents passed away when he was very young. This kid has overcome a ton of things in life just from the story. I mean, I don't know him personally, obviously, but just from what I've read on, what I've kind of learned about this kid is there's nothing stopping him. Like, he played quarterback in high school, and then he played anything. He was like a rushing quarterback because of how athletic he was. This kid is going to do anything and everything he can to be good in this NFL. I'm going to shoot for the upside. I'm going to follow his story. I'm going to take him here. I think he slid a bit too far for where he's going to go in the NFL draft. Like, this is a guy that we've been seeing mocked in that late first, that second round range. He's going to get the draft capital. He's that elite athlete. He's a much better player than Jonathan Mingo was. Like, Mingo was just not good. Like, he really wasn't. He never had this type of production. Like, Leggett had, like, he was top 8 in yards per out run, yards per team pass attempt, hitting 3+ in both of those metrics, 1,200 plus yards. He was Rattler's go-to guy. Like, this guy performed against Georgia. He performed against all these SEC talents and competition. So I think Xavier Leggett's a guy that, in that mid to late first range, I will swing for the fences and I will chase his story and the upside here all day on him. He was a guy that I actually, when I first started watching tape on this class, he stood out a lot to me. And I was like, I love this guy's tape. Mm-hmm. I dove into the prospect profile, dove into the numbers. Man, it was ugly. But this, if you look at it just for his breakout year, if you look at him like people are looking at Jaden Daniels in that year 5 perspective, he stands out. And the athleticism, I mean, 4.38 speed, ridiculous vertical, ridiculous broad jump, look good in the drills. This guy has oven mitts for hands. Like, he does not drop footballs. Great Senior Bowl. He can run pretty good routes. He's a more of a nuanced route runner than guys like Mingo were, LaVisca Chenault. Like, he is a much more nuanced route runner than those guys. Is he the next Deebo Samuel? No, he's not. But I think he can be like that Christian Watson type player where he's like that elite athlete and goes round 2 and then gets great draft capital and lands on a good situation like in Buffalo or in Carolina or in one of these spots where he's just getting clear path volume like Christian Watson did with an elite quarterback, and he scores 8, maybe 9 touchdowns year 1. So I'm just going to chase upside here. I probably would have taken him before like Penix and before these type of guys like Braylon Allen, but it's all about following the market, and I just think draft capital is going to follow Xavier Leggett. So I think this kid has a very great story, and I'm going to keep following him, and I think he's going to do good in the NFL at some point.
I like it. You know, I think this is an area where Snook, I'm starting to look at it, and I'm like, all right, dude, the second round looks really nice. These guys that are in the third round yet, I mean, there's some players where I'm like, okay, this guy should be gone right now, right? And I think just to recap here, you know, McConkey 201, Brooks, Nix, Corum, Penix, Benson. That gets us to 206 tier break. Purcell, 207. Baker, 208. Wright, Lloyd, Allen, Xavier Leggett. That is a very nice second round. We've been saying it on the Smash Accept podcast for so long to buy those second round picks to get yourself into position. Now it's like, all right, now we're looking at early thirds here, Snoog, and I'm very excited about some of these picks. Like, I think there's so many guys here where if you can get into that early third, and I know we say this every year, but I mean, there are guys that are going to go second round in the NFL draft that we haven't picked yet, like Roman Wilson. You know, I think there's Audric Estime is going to, if he gets, you know, by round three, people are going to take the trap of Keon Coleman and they're going to throw him up in here somewhere. I know that's the guy that neither of us wanted. But once we get to this area, we are talking about a lot of home run threats. Bucky Irvin, Jalen Polk. I mean, there's going to be a lot of upside in the third round. Let's try to go through the third round a little bit quicker just to kind of give people some ideas of who they are going to be getting. I'm going to take Roman Wilson here. I know we just talked about Audric Estime, but I think he is legitimately going to get second round draft capital, and I think he's someone that could really fit into a nice NFL scheme. So I am comfortable taking him at the 301. I left you have Estime. Are you going to take him now?
Yeah, I'll take him now.
All right, let's do it.
I'll take him now. Audric Estime.
I have him in that same area.
He is so interesting to me because I think his situation for fantasy football matters the most, because I don't think he's going to be a guy that catches 50, 60 passes. And in PPR formats, it's tough. He's very Zach Charbonnet-like for me. I think he is a better running back than Zach Charbonnet was. I think he is much better through contact. He's a much better, bigger, more explosive running back, in my opinion. In the short areas, I know his 40 was bad at the combine, but he was just not good at running that 40. When it came to pro day, he bumped that up to in the 4.5s. This guy checks every box in terms of analytics. Like, if you look at this class from an analytics perspective, he's right up there with the best of the best from a running back perspective. I mean, 4+ yards per contact after attempt. Like, this guy was just a meatball, bowling ball, trucking through defenders. He was one of the best in terms of explosive rush rate and breakaway run rate perspectives too, when you chart these guys. So, like, a guy this big exploding like that through the hole, that great after contact, he got the production, broke out at a young age, still 21 years old, early declare, checks every box. Like, the only box he's not checking is that receiving perspective, but he does have pretty decent chops. Like, he can catch the ball, he can catch swing routes. He's not an extreme versatile threat out of the backfield catching footballs, but he's still that guy that can be capable of it. So I think here in that early third range is the value in your drafts right here. Like, the next few guys we're going to talk about are guys that could go anywhere between 205 till now. Like, this is a big tier we're in, and I think Estime is going to be valued at a great point and a great price point for you guys where there's not much risk involved and you got to take the swing there.
So, speaking about taking a swing, man, you just made me do it. It's like, I didn't want to take him when we were talking about him being worth the 112, and I didn't want to take him when he was worth the 205. At this point, he might not be an elite separator, but he is someone that has a lot of yak potential. I saw Pat Fitzmaurice was talking about how he could be a big yak guy, a guy that gets involved in the right system. Keon Coleman at 303 is okay for me. I was not okay at 112. I was not okay in the early second. Now we're talking about the third. He likely goes in the second round of the NFL draft. You should not be getting wide receivers that go in the second round at this point, but I think he's going to fall there. I don't love him, but I'll take the value.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually go with a guy that has risen crazy up my boards the past few weeks. And this is a guy that I think is just a very pro caliber wide receiver. And I think he's going to have a definitive role at the NFL level. I don't know what that role is going to be, but he's going to have a role and he's going to be effective in that role. Jermaine Burton.
Okay, all right.
We're going with Jermaine Burton from Alabama. This is a guy that played for Georgia and Alabama, flashed big time on Georgia as a young freshman and sophomore, transferred to Bama, had two great seasons at Bama as well. He is such a great field stretcher and such an elite athlete. I mean, he was a 4.44 guy, had like a 41-inch vertical and a ridiculous broad jump. Like, just such a good athlete. The biggest concern with him is what his draft capital is going to be with the off-the-field issues. I've been reading up on him. I mean, he pushed a girl. He's done tons of things. He's not coachable to a lot of these coaches. Georgia coaching staff, Bama coaching staff, just very negative on this kid. it seems like he's got a lot of things to clean up off the field, but on the field, all that aside, this kid can play ball. Like, this kid could be my wide receiver 10. This is a guy that he's in that tier right now. It's Baker. We got Baker, Burton, Purcell, and Leggett. That's that tier of like 9 through 12 for me right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's the upside tier. I think those are the guys that could go day two, round two, round three. I think they're all gonna. I personally think Burton is a round two caliber player, but the off the field issues matter a lot more than if I just sit here and tell you he's a good football player, right? Like, George Pickens was a first round talent and he went mid second round because of it. So that's something that follows, and that reflects on the NFL scouts and kind of how they view players. But from a pure like talent perspective, like, this kid, he's the elite athlete. He's a great separator. He's great downfield. I'll laugh my butt off when the NFL takes Tez Walker over this kid, because this kid can do Tez Walker's game plus, and he's a much better yak player, and he's much better. This kid doesn't drop the football. Like, him and Javon Baker are both those guys that are just so naturally talented. They play very similar as well. Good after the catch athletes. They're great downfield. They're the best value deep threats in this class after, like, you get to like Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, and Xavier Worthy, and like Neighbors and those guys. Like, these are the value deep threats on day two that can get that number two, that number three role, that Michael Gallup type role where they're 1,000-yard receivers a few years. Like, we're at this point where if you're chasing that Puka Nacua, like, you're going to be disappointed, because that doesn't come often. Like, right now we're drafting those guys that are pros. They have that fantasy relevant skill sets where they can be top 24 guys any given year. Right now you're drafting for that upside flex role players with like that wide receiver two upside. Maybe you can get lucky and hit that needle in this haystack and land that Rashi Rice, Jaden Reed, that wide receiver two plus range. It can happen, especially in this class. So that's why we're just chasing upside. Off the field issues, Jermaine Burton's a no-go. But on the field, this kid can play ball.
I like that a lot. You know, like, you're really trying to swing for the fences on this area. I'm going to take Jalen Polk, another guy that's like in that area, considered to be a round two draft capital. He has an NFL body, obviously comes, you know, with some jump ball capabilities. I'm playing the upside here. I like a couple running backs, to be honest. And I think landing spot for a guy like, you know, say Bucky Irving, Will Shipley. When I play third rounds, Snoog, I'm not really always interested in going after wide receivers in the third round. Like, I typically, the way I like to do my drafts is like second and third round, if I get past where those early wide receivers are after Baker and after Purcell, I'm going to really try to hit on running backs, because the interesting part is trying to get a guy like Polk or Wilson or Coleman or Burton aren't going to have the same easiness to break in as an Estime, as a Shipley, if they land in the right spot as an RB2. Again, not betting on talent like you do, betting on opportunity, where I was like, you know what, if I end up getting Shipley here and he gets, you know, starts six games, then I can flip him for him in a 25 second for a 25 first in a class that's loaded. So more onto that area. Third round, are we considering the tight end yet? There's two tight ends that I think go in the third round. I was tempted by one of them. We play 1.75 tight end premium. There is such a gap between tight end one and tight end two. You know, I think a lot of people fall into a gap. Like last year, Laporta wasn't that far behind Kincaid. This year, Sanders and Sanat are not even close to Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is the most comfortable I would be to take Jatavion Sanders if someone wanted to. We're in that like mid to early third range. I've been seeing him like early second, even late first in tight end premium. Mid second, like don't waste your pick on that.
305
is the value.
305 and 312, I'm taking shots on either of those two tight end prospects, but they just don't feel as sexy as some of the other picks on the board right now.
But I have news for you. I'm going to take my tight end too. Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State.
I'm coming around.
I think the name brand on Jatavion Sanders is causing him to go higher. I would not be shocked if Sinnott goes higher than JT Sanders does in the draft. I mean, they're tight end two and three for me. It's splitting hairs. Sinnott has more fantasy football upside because he was a crazy good athlete at the combine. Had a great 40, great vertical, great broad jump. He has good production. He's young. And he was one of the best missed tackles forced guys at the tight end position in a while coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, if he goes, I saw, shout out David Gutierrez. If he goes top three rounds, this guy broke 20 plus tackles this past year. He'll be the first tight end since Vernon Davis to do that. Mm-hmm. So he is just a guy that I think he fits that fantasy football perspective so much, like that Sam Laporta, like, can play the slot, can play on the outside a little bit, can play all over. I think he's the type of guy that we really need to draft in this range, especially because there's very little risk involved. He's a very good yak player, and that fits fantasy football very well. So I'm taking Ben Sinnott here, and I love this value. Depends on if it was 0.75 or one tight end premium, take him in round two. Take him in the back end of the second, mid to second round. But here, just regular 0.5, I'm fine taking him in the third round.
And again, we're talking about Brock Bowers, who's Kittle plus, a Kelsey-type, you know, tight end. And Sinnott, I look at as maybe like a Tucker Kraft, a guy that's going to have a nice, you know, fall in. He could be Cole Kmet area, you know what I mean? He could be a guy that in Dynasty falls in that 10 to 14 range. And I think that's, there's value for that in the third round. There's always value for tight ends in the third round to try to get that. I'm going to take a guy who I know we were much higher on early on in the process, but I'm going to, at this point, I'm going to take a shot on Bucky Irving. You know, like, he's got to go to the right spot, but I think, again, taking a running back for upside. You're up. And now we're all the way down to 308, right? So, like, 307, if we talked about Bucky Irving going 307 2 months ago, we wouldn't have even been close to that. But now we're in that area. We're going to see what the NFL draft says. Now we're at 308. Let's finish these last couple of picks, and let's have some fun.
Yeah, I'm going to take the wide receiver here that I actually like better than Jalen Polk that played on the same team, Jalen McMillan. This is a kid that was neck and neck with Rome Odunze through the start of their careers. This is a guy that had 1,000 yards in his third year. Why didn't he declare? I don't know. Clearly that him and Rome really wanted to prove that they were dominant and that they could outproduce anyone and that they could be guys that can be good at everything and go and win a natty with Penix. Like, they had faith in this team. I personally think that if Jalen McMillan wasn't hurt at all this year, that we would be looking at him like, damn, like, Jalen Polk doesn't even exist, really, right? Like, this is a guy that Polk is great. Like, he is great at what he's good at, like the hands, downfield, the contested situations. McMillan's like that flashy route runner, that explosive guy, more electric downfield. He's a better athlete. I think I'd be comfortable taking McMillan even a little bit higher here. Like, I would right after the Burton, Coleman, Leggett, Roman Wilson tier, I have McMillan. So he's a top 15, top 16 wide receiver for me in this class. I think he goes day two, maybe round four. And I think he's a very pro ready rideout. Like, this is a guy that was, I think he was a 5-star recruit coming out of Washington or coming to Washington. He was like a guy that was so highly, I think he was the number one recruit in his class. He might've been, I'd have to double check on that, but he was just so highly recruited. Very, very devy analyst high on him. So he's a guy that in this range, like, we're shooting for upside here. And this is like the perfect range to shoot for upside. Like, this whole third round has just been such a stacked, like, upside shooting spot for us to go. So I like Jalen McMillan's value. I like the player. And he actually made my, here's the guys you got to target in round three that are going to be the values at wide receiver for you. So him and Burton were two of those guys.
I took Jatavion Sanders here because we were already referencing him. But I think at this point, we're at 309. I think I'm comfortable taking him there because he is a starting caliber tight end, you know, if he goes to the right spot. Snoop, this is where is an interesting area for me because when I win, you know, and I'm usually 309 to 312 in my drafts, I don't have these picks on my team. I use third round picks as sweeteners. A lot of other guys try to use them as, you know, high upside stashes. I find, you know, we ultimately sometimes overthink the third round and we think, oh, this is going to be the next Puka. This is going to be the, and I don't see a ton of that. So I usually use it as a sweetener to move up from 205 to 201, or I move it, you know, from 209 to 206 to get into another tier. And I again, you're awesome when it comes to talking about the prospects. For me, I'm just taking, if I have 309 and I'm sitting here, I was like, do I want DeVontez Walker? Do I want Malachi Corley? Do I want Will? Nope. I'm going to use it to move up to get another guy that I'm more comfortable with.
Yeah. Here, I mean,
I like Cowling. Yeah, that's a good pick.
I just like the upside shot on this because if you're looking at from basically, honestly, he might have the best raw production out of like any of these wideouts we've taken in a while. Like, this, I said he's the discount Roman Wilson, and I think he is. My only issue with him is I don't know if he's going round two or three. Like, he's probably a day four, like a day three guy, round four, round five, which stinks because the production, like, if you look at it from a pure analytical perspective, great yards per route run. Yards per team pass attempt was great. He broke out as a true freshman at 18 years old. He transfers. His first 3 years were phenomenal. Like, I question myself, like, why didn't this kid just declare after his first 3 years? He transfers to Arizona. Great year four and great year five, playing alongside arguably a lot of people's wide receiver one or two in the 2025 class in Tedderier McMillan. That kind of helped dip his production just a little bit from like a per attempt perspective. But I mean, Callen checks a ton of boxes from a production perspective. He's a natural separator, 4.38 40, fifth fastest at the NFL combine. If this kid goes day two, I will not be shocked. I think he's a day two talent, like a round three guy. Like, he's that Jaden Reed, Tank Dell type mold guy that in the right situation could be a great landing spot, great production player for a team and be a good number three, number two guy. If I can guarantee he's a round two guy, I will take him as high as like wide receiver 13 to 15 off the board. Like, I'll take
211, 212.
Yeah, I'll take him higher. I personally have him higher than Polk, even though Polk's getting like a lot higher draft capital projections, and he's probably going to go higher, so I'll fix that. But right now, we don't know anything. I'm going based off pure prospect perspective and kind of how I project them to be fantasy football assets, and I love the value on Jacob Cowan here.
I love the value at 311 with Spencer Rattler. I know you made me take all the quarterbacks. I don't foresee anybody else on here having the same amount of upside. There's people talking about the Raiders wanting him in the second round. There, you know, this is someone that a couple years ago in the Devy community was arguably in that QB1 status. He struggled a little bit. He played really well at the Senior Bowl. It looked pretty good at the combine. I think he's helping his draft stock, where he's someone that, you know, in the third round, the late third round. Yeah, we did this with Hendon Hooker and it didn't pan out. But maybe Spencer Rattler gets a chance as the number two somewhere, gets an opportunity, jumps in. Quickly on the last one, the last Mr. Irrelevant, 412 or 312, 312.
This is between two guys for me, so I'll save that other guy that I was going to say for when we do round four. I'm going to go with Will Shipley here. I mean, this is a guy that I was really high on going into this past college football season. Like, he was a top 5-6 running back for me. He's a very natural pass catcher, great contact balance. He flashes a ton of upside with his vision, his elusiveness, his playmaking ability. He's my RB8. I actually have him over Bucky Irving, right behind Braylon Allen in the same tier, though. It's 7-8-9. I think there's a world where he could be my RB7. Like, I think if he gets the draft capital, round two, round three, round four, he's a guy that just projects to be a better fantasy asset with the receiving upside than a guy like Braylon Allen, depending on situation, landing spots, obviously. But Shipley, I mean, this is a guy that has great production at Clemson. Like, he came in, broke out as a true freshman. I think he needs a little bit more love personally, so I'm all in on Will Shipley at this value. I mean, 312, it's like, what? Who do I get? Adam, not even an Adam Thielen there. So yeah, it's like, I'll just take the dart throw.
And this is where we get to guys in the fourth round. People always think that they're going to pick the next guy. This is a 5% hit chance or less. It's, you know, the Corley, Rice, Walker, Ray and Isaiah Davis, McCaffrey, Schrader, you know, Frank Gore Jr., Thrash, Laub, Vidal. Like, there's a lot
Malik
of guys here.
Washington.
Isaac Garendo, Malik Washington. Guys, make sure you look. Bell. Right now, like, honestly, if you're drafting on Sleeper, some of these guys, Malik Washington, they have as, like, pick 60, you know, and they also had Burton way down there. So make sure you guys pay attention to those kind of things. But this has been fun. You know, we wanted to just bring you a little bit of round two. Snoog and I got excited and we kept going into round three. We could do round four, but we got to keep moving on. So thanks again. Make sure you guys subscribe for YouTube. Put a screenshot on the tweet that I have and you'll have an opportunity to not only be part of the Smash Except Patreon, but get your draft assisted by both Snoog and I to, you know, really try to help you guys get the best out of your draft. So thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the process.